Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Dutta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitansya Nama Shrestam Manamapi Satri Putra Atrasva Rupam Rupam Tasya Graja Madhupurim Matrim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Giri Varamaho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Jasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurun Tanmatosmi Guru Gaura Gandharva Govindam Gringanaisa Vande Prasarato Yesam Sabha Ramba Subankara Gaura Vagvigraham Vande Gaurangam Gaura Vaibhavam Gaura Sankirtanomatam Gaura Karunya Sundaram Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam Nityam Naomi Navadipe Nama Kirtana Nartanai Srimad Prabhupadam Bhoja Marupe Vyo Namo Namaha.
Maharaj, question from our viewers. We are said to adjust ourselves to the environment. How to deal with such things as conscription or compulsory military service? You have to obey, and at the same time, you may have to go against the non-violence principle.
It reminds us of some of the things that Srila Guru Maharaj said in Sri Gurana's Grace. And in summary, saying it means it will be determined by the degree of faith that that individual has, how much they are guided by the ideal. So it's absolute consideration and relative consideration. Absolute consideration means always putting Krishna culture as a priority, and everything else around that, it cannot be secondary to any other consideration. So one who is totally absorbed in Krishna culture, their heart is wholly given over to Krishna culture, then that will dictate the course that they follow. When the Govardhan Puja comes, sometimes I like to invoke the saying that we've heard, render to Caesar what is Caesar, render to gods what is gods. That's a general principle people follow. And in Guru Maharaj's terms, you can say absolute consideration, relative consideration. But what I like to point out is in Govardhan Leela, what do we learn from Krishna? Render to God what is Caesar's. What is apparently Caesar's, or Caesar's due, give that also to God. As when what was traditionally reserved for the Indra Yajna, and here Indra represents, we can say, government. We're told even that should be given to Krishna, dedicated to Krishna. So it depends on the level of faith and adherence. Still, if we look in the pages of the Charitamritam, we see that, as relative circumstance would have it, that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, you can say, were conscripted in the service. But we take this as their pastimes, part of their pastimes with Mahaprabhu, and we know they're also waiting for him to come out and begin his Nam Sankirtan movement in earnest, so to speak. And as we said in the invocatory prayer, Radha Ruchi Rucha, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram, Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. The Guru Rupa of Hari, of Krishna, is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And why he's Gauranga? Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. He's enveloped in the heart and halo of Srimati Radharani. Sa Bhaktavya Sudham Nijabhajana Mujam Upadijan. As Rupa Goswami says in Chaitanyastakam, he is descended with his devotees. You know, he's teaching devotion, but what type? The highest type of devotion. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidjo Vaneva. The type that she alone possesses. So that's an allusion directly or indirectly to Mahabhav, the highest type of Krishna prema. But he does not immediately show himself in that position, nor indulge those sentiments or dive deep into the depths of that reality. But he gradually, and this is, we just say from an analytical point of view, that he gradually shows that position, evolves, you can say. But Guru Maharaj reminds us, evolution, really it's the actual position all along, just as the sun. The sun, from one perspective, we can say, it evolves from sunrise to full-blown sunshine. But actually, it's always in the full-blown sunshine position. Just from a relative position, it appears to be evolving in this way. Still, the reason I mention this is so we can see in this way this apparent evolution from Nimai Pandit to Gaura Hari, that he shows before these pastimes, sometimes Varaha avatar, the Mahaprakash, different things, but as he evolves in the Bhaktabhav position, showing devotion, this is what the others are waiting for. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they're in different places, the Goswamis. And when the word spreads that now he's Gaura Hari, he's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taken sannyas, then they're going to leave their relative positions and join him. But in the famous meeting, we can say like first meeting of Rupa and Sanatan and Ram Kali, they meet Mahaprabhu in the dead of night at his encampment. And really, they're prepared to join him at that time, to totally abandon their relative positions and then fully embrace the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and his service. But interestingly, at that time, Mahaprabhu tells them that part of Yasini Sloka, he gives the, invokes the sloka of the woman with a paramour, the wife who has a paramour, that she's more attentive to the household duties and wifely responsibilities, to not arouse suspicion. But he's saying, at the appropriate time, then I will call for you, and we see Sanatana and Rupa, they tyag those positions as given by Srinivasacharya, the Sad Goswami Asakam, Tyaktva Turnamashesha Mandala Pati Srinim Sadatu Chava Budva Dina Ganeshako Korunaya Kopina Kantasvito. Tyaktva Turnamashesha Mandala Pati Srinim Sadatu Chava, saying what was considered a high position in material estimation in the society, they left that like it was nothing, as if it was completely insignificant, irrelevant to them. Budva dina ganeshako korunaya kopina kantasrita. And to show their compassion to the fallen souls of this world, they took the kopin. So they gave up everything, took the position. The coping here means literally, but metaphorically, the position of renunciates. Gopi bhava rasamrita dilahari kalola magna. Is that right? Yeah, gopi bhava. And they're drowning in gopi bhava, the sort of, as Mahaprabhu, Radha Baba Duti Subalita, Nomi Krishna Sarupam, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani, they're also enveloped in the heart of Gopi Bhav. After all, they are gopis descended from Goloka Vrindavan, and embracing these positions in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So we can say there's a period where they were conscripted in the government service, and that was only acceptable to them contingent upon ultimately connecting with Mahaprabhu and joining his entourage. So sometimes for or say temporarily, one may have to accept some position that is not desirable, with the understanding that it's a temporary thing, and at some point that will be left. And we'll embrace the position of being an exclusive servitor. Yes, any other questions?
Another question is,
and it reminds us of Vasu Ghosh and his song, Jari Gorna Hoita Taviki Hoita Kemoni Daritam Dehe Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janata Ke, where he's saying, why did Mahaprabhu come? Really, Radhar Mahima means to preach the glories of Radharani. That is, remember, she is Krishna consciousness, the ultimate expression, personification of Krishna consciousness. If you want to distribute Krishna consciousness, then it must have some connection with her. Radhar Mahima, Prema Ratha Sima. Sima means the heights, the limits in the sense of the heights, the ultimate height, limit, achievement. And prema, her, and what is her type of prema? Mahabhav. So, but Vasu Gosh, Guru Maharaj is saying, in his song, he's saying, if Gauranga had not descended in this world and revealed this and distributed this, Sri Charan Prabhu always liked to say, and when he was given the floor to speak, he would end with a resounding, Ek Bindu Jagat Dubai, means, and one drop can drown the world. It's so spacious in its comprehensiveness and magnanimity. A drop of this divine substance can drown the world. But Vasu Gosha says, so if Gauranga had not descended and made this available, then how could we live? What would be our excuse for existing? One could only exist in anticipation of connection with this substance. And then Guru Maharaj would say, but Vasu Gosha is saying, but I see that for some time you were living without connection with Gauranga. So in his mind, the only way he can adjust this is saying like, oh, in anticipation that you would get connection with this, you lived for some time. Then I can understand it. Because it would be impossible to live without connection with this. But apparently you were living for some time without it, then it must have been knowing you were going to get it, some connection. Then it's possible to conceive of some sort of position or existence. Right? And we think, what a fanatic. We aspire to that level of fanaticism. Sometimes I would say to Gurudev that, like half serious joke, I would say, you're a fanatic for Guru Maharaj. And he would say, yes. And sometimes he would remind me, say, Maharaj, remember when you said I was a fanatic for Guru Maharaj? I said, yes, I remember that. He said that with great pride. So these are real things. Serious things. Krishna consciousness isn't something we do in our spare time. It is the thing. Just as once the devotees were always asking Srila Guru Maharaj so many questions, and mercifully he's answering them. Then this one time he said, you know, can I ask you a question? And they were all taken aback, a little surprised, like, oh, yes? And he said, what is Krishna consciousness? And they were all like, no one wanted to be the first person to say anything. So, but one, the devotees are smart, you know, so one, he goes, it's what Prabhupada taught us. That's like a safe answer. How are you going to argue with that? And then someone else said, bhakti. You know, and then and someone was going to say something else. And Guru Maharaj said, Krishna, did he mention anything about him? And then someone else is going to start to answer. And Guru Maharaj just he said, it is reality. Krishna consciousness is reality, and it's in your interest to become acquainted with reality. It's not that reality is one thing and love is another thing and relationship, you know. There's only Krishna consciousness. everything else, as Guru Mahārāja would say, is just trash. But like Milo used to do, we don't know what he's doing now, but he cannot resist a pile of garbage. If he goes for it, he has to go for it. How many piles of garbage he examined in his lifetime, we cannot say. But he could not walk by a pile of stinking, rotten garbage without smelling that and seeing, maybe there's something in there for me. So we are like Milo. We think, no, I mean, that's you don't mean that about like the world and people, do you? I'll let you figure that out yourselves. I report, you decide. But let's say it's similar. Prabhupada always used to like say, similarly, you know, like that. Similarly, it's a segue. So there's some similarity there. So there's only Krishna consciousness. Everything else is what you have to put up with or tolerate in your pursuit of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness shall always be in the primary position. And anything else can only be accepted if inevitably, it brings about connection with Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it should be left. Right. What does it say about, who is it? Maharaj Rahugan? How he left his family and friends. So the way someone, having, how we say, answered the major call of nature, leaves that place. That's what it says. And you're like, oh, what do you say that? It's in the Bhagavatam. Right. Saraswati Thakur said, the statements where is it? Perhaps it's in the 11th canto or in the first canto. About Nainam Chindanti, saying that Shastra Ukti, the statements of the sadhus. I were told in one place, he said, because sadhu means different things. One of its meaning is one who cuts, like, with what? Sharp language. So sometimes the sadhus say things that are apparently rude, impolite, would not be introduced in polite conversation. Not all, it doesn't mean they always talk like that, just sometimes. When someone needs a so-called, the proverbial wake-up call. Utishta, Jagrata, Prapya, Bharan, Nibodhita. The Upanishads saying, wake up and understand the opportunity that is before you. It won't always be there. That's labdva sudurlabham bahu sambhavante, about human life. So the Upanishad saying, as a human being, wake up to the prospect that is before you. Not ahara nidraya baya maitunam cha. Eating, sleeping, reproducing, defending. Tasyeva hetu prayate to kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam muparyada. One of Narada's Bhagavat slokas to Veda Vyas. Try for that one thing that's not available having traversed the length and breadth of the objective world, of the misconceived world. That means Krishna culture. Yes, any other question?
Yes, Maharaj. Is the best offering you can make to your guru to bring him new people for initiation? Are you kind of responsible for those whom you brought into some connection with Krishna consciousness?
Srila Guru Maharaj says that what has been mercifully gifted to us by Guru and Vaishnava, there's a tacit understanding, and it's given freely. It's a tacit understanding that out of gratitude, one should extend that to others. And he added, not anything less than that. So not anything less than what is given to you, we're tacitly obliged in the spiritual transaction to extend to others. That's the best thing to do. Whether it translates into any type of initiation, I mean, there's like literally and metaphorically, dibhyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papa sasangshayam. It's really about the wealth. It can be transmitted in various ways. Diksha, shiksha. It's mentioned that at the time of initiation, some, we know, pranami is given. Something with monetary value. But it's said that what is the gift of Sri Guru to the disciple is so valuable, one word of which is so valuable, that offering the world in response to that is insufficient. The entire world, that wealth, that is insufficient. So as we told the other day, the Vaman avatar, what really was the purpose of Vamandev, who, saying Krishna's to Bhagavan Shyam, that in another form of Mahavishnu, he's generating universes. They're coming out like golden eggs from his form. Is it Jagadanda Koti Svasheshu Vishudhari Vibhuti Binnam? Vishnur Mahan Sahi Yasha Kalabhishesho. So why would he, who can generate universes from his pores, take the time and trouble to enter into one of them and then to tell Balimars, well, I want, you know, within two steps, take this part, half of the, and then the other half, for someone who can generate universes from his pores? Because really, his purpose was to get the heart of Bali Maharaj, who personifies Atmanivedanam, you know, self-giving, self-offering, offering oneself, diksha kale bhaktakori atma samarpan. Diksha proper really is giving oneself. So that was his purpose. And that's always the purpose. It's not this is an isolated instance. It's always the same thing, devotion. So giving oneself, what does that mean? When Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj, said he was reading Bhagavad Gita and the slogan, Vyavasayatmika Budhi Ekeha Kurunandana, that Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur glossed this as making one's life or existence synonymous with the order of Sri Guru. It's very beautiful. You know, talking about Bhagavad Gita interpretation. We're not interested in just having some interesting parlor discussions about possible interpretations of slokas. Karishe vachanam tava is to do. So Prabhupada says, in reading this, he had an epiphany and realized, the reason for my existence should be non-different and pursuing the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur. What is that? To spread Krishna consciousness in the Western-speaking countries, particularly English-speaking countries, America, which is where the Krishna consciousness movement started, I mean, in the Western world, in an expansive way. So it was in the power of that order, his offering himself. What is his self? His body, mind, words, intelligence, wealth, everything he has connected with himself, funneling it and focusing it on this one order alone, to preach, to extend Krishna consciousness to others. He could have easily justified spending his final days in Vrindavan, the Radha Damodar temple, and the Bhajan Kutir and Samadhi of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and Krishna's Kaviraj, Jiva Goswami's deities. If he had just engaged in his own internal culture there, taking Krishna Nam, reading the works of the Goswamis, no one would find fault with him. But, you know, Vilasatu Hridi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Bani, playing in his heart, is the song of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his words, his order, his command. So he could not ignore that. You know, I will pursue my own Krishna culture. Now he's hearing the voice, the words, the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur always. Playing, vilas. Vilasatu hridi nityam, eternally in his heart. Bhakti siddhanta vani. And that's what moved him. He offered himself in pursuance of that order and became a vehicle for its play. Like Gurudev once said, there was a disciple of Saraswati Thakur who did the markup in the days of the letterpress. And we've seen that where there was a box of lead letters, you know, of the alphabet, and a good markup, you know, they have a sheet they're working from, and they're holding the, I forget all the terms, but even some of the terms have survived in modern, like leading and, you know, things like that. But anyway, so they hold this and they pull the letters. There are all these boxes with, and they're putting them in, and they're making, that's how they make books, you know. Every single letter was picked up by hand. This is before offset printing and linotype, which were knocking out lead letters. They picked them out of boxes. And so how fast one could do that. And so Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj said, this devotee, he said, how beautifully the will of Saraswati Thakur played upon, when you'd see him doing this, surrendering his body, mind, words, intelligence, energy, skills to doing this, and you'd see his hands moving, He said it was a very beautiful thing to witness. In a similar way, those with the eyes to see what Srila Prabhupada, allowing the will and order of Saraswati Thakur to play upon him. And if someone thinks I'm getting carried away with some sort of conceit, Prabhupada himself said in his poem, I think you've brought me here for a reason. And it's Markine Bhagavata Dharma poem. And he said, so if you've brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance. I mean, considering himself like a puppet and Krishna the puppeteer. It is self-oblivion is not the same as self-annihilation or self-extinction. Self-oblivion means to be so lost in the other, it's as if the identities are one, yet they remain two. Ramananda says the Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu is praising Ramananda for what is coming out from him, he's saying, I'm like an instrument that you're playing. Right? We know there's the guitar, the sitar, the whatever it is, but then there's the player. So the beautiful sound that's coming out of the instrument has to do with the player. Ramananda is saying, it's like that. I'm the instrument. You're playing me and making all these things. And then you're saying, oh, what a beautiful sound. And Kaviraj Goswami composes a sloka like that at the beginning of the chapter. What does it say? Sancharja Rama Bida Bhakta Mege Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani. But Bhakta Meghe means like devotee cloud. Saying the Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani, there is an ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta, and from that ocean, who is Mahaprabhu, is risen the cloud of Ramananda Roy, and he's raining back on the ocean. But where did that rain come from but the ocean? In different ways he's approaching the same thing. So Guru Maharaj says we should accept the suggestion of Srimati Radharani. I know that was a very beautiful and sweet way to put it, because we hear very often order, the order, like Amar Gyai Guru Hoya, and certainly that's true, the order of Sri Guru. But he said, Radharani's suggestion. And there's a mystical seed there in Prachodati, Prachodaya, in the Gayatri. It's always, there's a connecting thread, but consistently means offering ourselves as instruments to the will of Sri Guru. And we know that that has to do with the extension and expansion of Krishna consciousness to others. That's how the service increases. It's not something redundant. You say, well, there's already innumerable unlimited servitors. What do I need one more for? Or they're just being nice to us by allowing us to participate. No. Everyone has some unique contribution to make. And it's in its blossoming stage, the devotional creeper, when it blossoms, and Bhav Ankur and Bhava Bhakti, we're told, like a flower has some charming aroma fragrance, the devotion of that devotee, their devotion has some fragrance that is appealing, that's charming to Krishna, which is something inconceivable if we think about it. Because someone might think, objectively, well, how could Krishna be? He has all these great super servitors and so many, and they're innumerable. How could he be attracted to something in the heart of someone who was, you know, a nitya buddha jeev, a fallen soul? So this is the power of devotion. When genuine devotion is awakened, and that we're saying bhavankur, bhava bhakti, preliminary stage of Krishna prema, that the devotion of that devotee, what's in their heart, their deep heart's core, is actually attractive to Krishna. How wonderful is that? Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. Rupa Goswami says from the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is one of the qualities or characteristics of pure devotion, is that it can actually attract Krishna. That's inconceivable. Yet, he says, it's true. But how can we expect such devotion to arise in the heart of the aspiring servitor? It means being under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnav, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnav, under the influence. To be inspired is to be influenced. There is no such thing as inspiration devoid of influence. So influence is a good thing. Inspiration is the outcome of influence. The influence means Tene Brahma Hrida, heart-to-heart transaction. So from the heart of Krishna, and really, we can say, the heart of Krishna, in one sense, is an allusion to Srimati Radharani. Bargo by Vrishabhanu Jatma Bibhavai Karadana Sri Puram. She's illuminating the spiritual world, the Seva Mayoyam Loka. That means revealing service, extending and revealing service. In the Western world, they would say Paris, the city of lights. She's the city of light of devotion, illuminating the whole spiritual reality. Guru said, faith is the halo of Srimati Radharani. So we want to come under her influence, of her and her servitors, and the hierarchy of servitors, and the Rupanuga line, Sri Rupanuga Kritimati Guru Gauranga Radha Jitasa Radhika Madhavasam. So if Guru, in the order of Guru, is based in reality, it must have its origin there in this substance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song says, she's the Ujvala Rasa Acharya. in the plane where the gopis complain that Krishna, what is he? The acharya of despicable behavior. How can they say these things to the supreme reality, the supreme entity? Hurl loving insults. And what does Krishna say in Charitamritam? When my beloved is insulting me in this way, the reverential hymns of the Veda, they're like the Samaveda is like muzak to my ears. My mind is stolen from the reverential hymns of the Veda and is just irresistibly drawn by the sweetness of the loving insults of my beloved. Any other question?
Question from my side. We are, well, fortunately, we have very tiny understanding of Sri Shikshashtakam left for us by Mahaprabhu as a primary instructions given in those eight shlokas. Can you tell us?
They're not primary instructions. I mean, you mean primary in the sense of important?
Yes.
Not primary in the sense of any other way.
And what about Dashamula Tattva? What is the significance of Dashamula Tattva of Mahaprabhu?
That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's always distilling and expressing in another way. Because mool means root. So he's saying from here, if he says, Sarva Shakti Rasabdim. If Krishna says, Rasabdim, Rasabdi, he's an ocean of rasa, then so much can be extracted from there. Amnaya Prahatatvam, revealed truth. He's there in the very name of what he's given, the word mool is used, which means roots, but roots in the sense of from this so much siddhanta and conception can come springing out of there. So he's giving a summary of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Deva and the Goswamis. Anything else?
Just short question from China. If God controls everything, then why is there evil in the world?
Why is there what?
Evil.
Evil.
Yes. In the world. If God is kind, why do we suffer?
Because we've been given free will. So for us to exercise our free will means he has to take a position of non-interference. So in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Upadrastanu manta cha bharta bhokta maheshwara paramatmeti chapyukto dehismin purushapara. So the upadrashta means overseer. What do the Upanishads say? You know, dva suparna sayuja sakaya, like two birds in a tree. And it's the tree of karma. Two birds are saying, one bird is eating the fruits of karma. And the other bird, what is it doing? Observing, like a companion. Observing, not interfering. So he has to take a position of non-interference to allow the full expression of free will. So, and then he's saying, well, but then someone, uses that free will to inflict suffering upon others. That's true. And then they'll have to suffer the reaction for that. So this is the world of action and reaction. If he were to intervene, then removing our free will, then that means not being conscious, free conscious agents, but being like stone. So, and being endowed with consciousness means accompanying with that is free will. And the free exercise of free will demands that the infinite, the God, the supreme entity, have a position of non-intervention, not to interfere. And what was the second part?
If God is kind, why do we suffer? And the first,
right. Yeah. If parents are kind, why do their children suffer? Sometimes they give some advice, like, don't do that. Please don't do that. If you do that, it'll be very bad for you. It won't be good. Take my word for it. Please, don't do that. And what does the child do? That's exactly what they do. And then they're suffering, and then they say to their parents, why did you let me do that? You're mean. No, I told you 5 times not to do it, and 5 different ways. And still, you persisted and did that, and now you're suffering. It's something like that. We can't, and that's also in the Gita, Krishna's saying, the situation you're in, I'm not responsible for that. I may facilitate it, but really, you're responsible for the situation you're in. And if you're suffering, you're the cause of that suffering. It's not God, he has nothing better to do. He's bored because there's nothing to do in the spiritual world. Right? Heaven is a place where nothing ever happens. Right? So you're just bored there and you think like, well, what's going on with those people down there? This is like a Judeo-Christian imposition. And then he gets involved in what they're doing and they disobey. Then he has to punish them. Krishna is an enjoyer. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamahamajami. He's in the spiritual world enjoying with his eternal associates. How is he accompanying the souls in this world? Through the agency of Paramatma. Supersoul, oversoul, overseer, permitter. When the Gandhi was arguing for independence from Britain, the British position was that you're not fit for self-rule, meaning if we give you this independence, you may misuse it and do wrong. It was a patronizing, condescending position. But Gandhi said to them at one point, freedom means the right to do wrong. That's when you truly have freedom is when you can choose between right and wrong, or choose to do wrong. That's freedom. Not that you can only do what is right. There has to be some choice involved. And certain types of choice, the end result of that is suffering. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he deals with these issues in Jiva Dharma, he says that just as fire brings gold to its purity, as I've told before, and even recently, when you go to India, they have these shops in Bengal. Like, the goldsmith always have a name like Lucky Narayan Babu. Lucky means Lakshmi. So Lakshmi Narayan Babu, goldsmith. And you bring your coin in, and then they have this lamp, and then they burn it. Because I said, oh no, what are you doing? You know, they burn it and temporarily becomes totally black. Then they wipe off the soot, and then this is the classic use in English of what is called a touchstone. When we say sparsha money, that's a Vaishnava conception. The philosopher's stone that a touchstone, actually, you take the gold and you scratch it on this touchstone, and then that gold scratch is matched against something, and then you can tell it's 24 karat, 22, 18, 12, 14. That's why it's called a touchstone. So, but they put the gold in the fire, and it's temporarily covered with soot. Then they wipe away the soot, and what you're left with is pure gold. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, although locally, immediately, in our relative circumstance, suffering of course is undesirable. No one's going to ask for that, unless you're Kunti Devi in some advanced stage of spiritual realization. So he's saying, that's like the fire. Right, we say samsara dava nalalila noka chanaya karana guna ganasam praptasya kalyana gunanavasya. That's the samsara dava nala, the fire of material existence. And what is that doing? He's saying, really, it's removing the impurities of the soul. So although locally, immediately, it's undesirable, said, but if in the end result, it, in a secondary way, assists the soul in achieving its level of purity, can we say that it was a bad thing or an undesirable thing? So it's how we look upon that. You see, then it can be seen as something good. And I told Firehouse in San Francisco of the chief with the plaque, and what does it say? Remember, they're firemen. It says, by fire shall hearts be proven, lest virtue's gold grow dim. So they're openly embracing this, saying it's that fire of that circumstance that brings out the real virtues of a person. Same thing said by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, said by the fire chief of San Francisco. or at least some poet wrote that, and the fire chief said, aha, this will be good for morale, so our men understand what they're doing. So what is the use of being a fireman if there are no fires? So in this world, then that suffering, the Vaishnava may have a different outlook about that. And Vishwanath says in Bhagavatam, in the Vatsa Param Sloka, the 10th canto, where it's saying, you know, samasrita ye padapallava plavam mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavambudhir vatsa param 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 padadya vipadam natesham. So it's saying, when one is fully taken shelter of the Lord and his devotees, that the sufferings of material existence become reduced to the vatsa pad. That vatsa means calf, and it means the hoof print of a calf. So, and it's a very beautiful poetic way of saying, like a drop, right? Because you could say, I mean, it would be an ocean turned in even a hoof, it would be small enough, right? But they're saying the hoof print of a calf. So what was oceanic in proportion becomes like a drop. What does that mean? Sambandh again, a change of perspective, a change of way of seeing. Guru Maharaj is saying, what is your seva? To acquire a proper angle of vision. Chaksur unmilitam jena, it's all about it. Seeing things from a different perspective. But Vishwanath, as usual, takes it a step further. He's saying, but, so if it's the water from the hoof of a cow, and Krishna's Govinda, and we worship the cows, he's saying, not only is it reduced to something insignificant, but it may even be seen as something desirable or worshipable. So now we're gaining some insight into the way the higher Vaishnavas see things. So from a lower position, we're whining, complaining, like, why do we have to suffer in this way? But the Vaishnavas, tattenu kampam susamikshamano, they're looking not on the superficial level of suffering and undesirable circumstance, but looking deeper, and they say, well, if Krishna is in control of everything, see, this is another way to look. If he's in control of everything, and I have to undergo this apparent suffering, is he against me or for me? Is he trying to crush me or to elevate me? Is he trying to push me back or push me forward? Is he my friend or my enemy? Suhridam sarvabhutanam means he's the dearmost friend of every living being who's in control of everything. We hear that saying, not a blade of grass moves without the will of God. So he's making the blades of grass move like in a way that's bad for me or good for me? And not just the blades of grass, everything else. So the culture of devotion is saying, these circumstances, however superficially undesirable and suffering-inducing, must be for my betterment. They're meant to direct me towards grace. But it's easy to say that. But how to realize that is another thing. But we have to begin somewhere. I saw the YouTube video of a baby elephant stuck in the mud, cannot get out of the mud. They're going to die. And then you see the mother and some other, they come, and the mother elephant pulls the baby elephant out of the mud. Okay. So in this world, in the objective world, the mother elephant has that type of love, compassion, affection for her child who's suffering in the mud. So should we think we're plodding in the mud of misunderstanding, Krishna could care less. He has no compassion. He's not sensitive. He won't help us in any way. An animal will help their offspring who's in trouble. Mami vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So you think Krishna is compassionate towards us or not? But it may not come in the way that you will think. We think, you know, why isn't it, you know, like eating sweet balls? Why? And actually part of our sadhana is eating sweet balls, so what do we have to complain about? As I told in the first Sunday feast I went to, after, you know, shaving my head, joining the first, this devotee Baladev, and all of the brahmachari there with perfectly shaved heads and tilak and big plates of prasadam. Their happiness was like, back shave your head, put on your saffron robes, have a big plate of prasadam and preach to a guest. I think, what could be better than that? And remember, and he's, somehow they're talking about yoga, and he says, talking about the yogis who, they blaze a fire in the extreme heat of summer, a circle of fire, sit within the circle and meditate. When it's, you know, 20 below in the wintertime, they go in the freezing water up to the neck, they're meditating. He said, but then he picked up a sweet ball in his hand and the juice is like running down his, and he said, but the bhakti yogi, he feasts. And he threw the sweet ball in his mouth and like the juice was coming out. And I thought, I like this. This idea. So sometimes even our sadhana is eating the sweet ball, but in divine remembrance. That's again from Vasugopa. You think, what kind of a sadhana is this? That singing, dancing, feasting? That is our path. And Janardhan Maharaj reminds us when Srila Prabhupada was in his last year and like preaching, even lying on a bed on the stage, still preaching. And he gave some example. He talked about how people suffer in various ways to achieve different things, whether in business and family life, relationships and school, whatever it is, you have to undergo some suffering to achieve something. So he said, then why not undergo some suffering to achieve Krishna consciousness, which is permanent and lasting and eternally beneficial. So from whatever angle of vision we approach that, but we like to sing a prayer and it says, Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute. Hey Krishna, what is he? Karun means compassionate. Karuna Sindhu means he's an ocean of compassion. Why does he descend in this world in so many innumerable avatars? But out of his compassion, his kindness. Why are all the scriptures there, the avatars, the incarnations? Compassion. Kindness. But he has not to interfere with the free will of the tatastha jeev. And as Guru Maharaj says, we've been seduced by the satanic mania. You want to serve in heaven or reign in hell? And we thought, that reign in hell thing, maybe I'll explore that for Koti Kalpa. Just around the corner. For madmen only. That I will achieve fulfillment by embracing the position of a master, a controller. But what kind of a master controller are we? Hare Krishna. So, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Ishvara Parama Krishna. And the good news, he owns everything, controls everything. What, is he greedy? What do we get? His Govinda, he can satisfy every sense beyond what you can imagine in terms of beauty, charm, sweetness, and the visual beauty, oral beauty, all types of sensual beauty. Mahaprabhu and his divine madness is revealing, he's saying, these five aspects of the beauty of Krishna, like what you see, hear, taste, touch, smell, feel, and he said, each one of them is, he's telling Srup, Damodar, and Ram, is driving me mad. It's like my mind and heart is a horse, and each one of my senses wants to ride the horse, but want the eyes, they want to ride the horse on the infinite beauty, sight beauty. But the ears say, no, sound beauty, no, aroma beauty, aromatic beauty, no, touch beauty, taste beauty, all these things. He's saying, what can I do? My senses are out of control. So we go from out of control senses to the controlled senses to then the highest stage, the senses are out of control, but in the most beautiful way. Govinda. Hare Krishna.